Lou Manfredini here. Do you have cracked or sunken concrete areas around your home? Call PermaSeal for a free estimate. Don't replace it, raise it. Call 800-421-7325 or visit permaseal.net.
You know Elise Glink, CEO of Best Money Moves Financial Wellness Company. Elise, what is the difference between consumer sentiment and consumer confidence? Is it the same?
It basically is. Different organizations call it a little bit of a different thing, but this is how people are actually feeling about the economy. And big surprise, they don't feel too good about it, Lisa.
Yeah, neither do I.
Right?
Although, in fact, I got to tell you, I've dialed back a lot of stuff. I mean, I was supposed to be in New Orleans this weekend for Jazz Fest, and I just thought, if I can get credit for my airline ticket and not spend money on a hotel, and I'll just do it. And I did. And that's unusual. I go every year.
Yeah, I think you're not alone here. What we're seeing is kind of a dichotomy. We're seeing a lot of people who are worried about tariffs go out and make big purchases because they're worried that if they don't, the price will go up 10, 15, 20, 30, 150%. And they don't want to pay that, especially for a washing machine or a large durable good. Cars, people are worried about that. On the other side, we have people like you and me, in fact, who are dialing it back and saying, you know what? I don't need to go to dinner this weekend, out to dinner. I'll just make something at home. We'll have some friends over. We'll do something casual. Not spending money you don't need to spend. And I think that's really what this consumer sentiment reading from the University of Michigan is really all about. It found that consumer sentiment has now plunged to the fourth lowest level on record going back to 1952. And the worst level, or I should say the lowest level, was in June of 2022 when we had inflation reaching that four-decade high of around 9%. And what we're seeing is that we're very nearly at that same level.
But we made it through June of 2022 and things got better for a moment, right?
They did. They only came back up to around 80 on a scale of 100, right? So the low was at 50 points. We're now at 52.2 points. So we went all the way up to 80. We came all the way down again. And the 20-year average is 80, by the way. So that would be something that would be a good thing. We haven't seen a high, though. I think the all-time high was in 2020, just before the pandemic started. We got all the way up to just around 100, and now we're back at 52.2. So it's a concern for people. They're worried, and they're thinking, what's next? And I think really that uncertainty is kind of the hardest thing to process, right? If you look at the stock market this week, we finally had an up week. It notched 4% on the gain for the S&P 500. We're starting to see good numbers again. But this afternoon, the president announced that he wasn't easing up. The pause wasn't going to be repeated on tariffs. He was going to, double down on China. That's going to be very worrying for the markets next week.
Steve Zurich, I was reading this in an article. He's a vice president of thought leadership at Nelson IQ. And he said U.S. shoppers have adopted a, quote, conservation mentality for their cash as they follow fast-changing headlines and see wild swings in the stock market and their savings and retirement accounts. And I thought, that's it, a conservation mentality.
Yeah, I see. Well, the more you save, the safer you're going to feel, right? If you've got $5,000 in your savings account, but if you don't spend anything, you can get to $7,500, you're going to feel that much better about it. And I think we're seeing it at all income levels where people are really dialing it back. And that's going to have some profound repercussions for a lot of people. I was with some people this week at a meeting, and one of their businesses is all about importing things from China. And they are down in terms of revenue, they're down about 30% because people are just afraid that if they order something, it's going to go up in price after they place the order, or the seller has pulled it back because they don't know what to charge.
Yesterday, we were talking about the new gift that is preferred for weddings is to help the couple with a down payment on a house and to not be surprised when you see that request in the form of a registry. And reading what you wrote, everybody wants cash.
They do. Miss Manners is just appalled, I'm sure, right? Because asking for cash is kind of the last thing you ever want to do from a manners point of view. But from a perspective of, you know, what would really help people these days, that's exactly what's happening. And so for wedding gifts, shower gifts, baby gifts, people are actually asking for cash. In fact, we just gave a cash gift to somebody I know who's having a baby because her employer doesn't provide any paid time leave. She has to use her vacation time. She wanted to take an extra few weeks to get herself back together after having the baby. And we thought, yeah, that's the best gift that we can probably give her. And I think a lot of people are coming to the conclusion that maybe cash is a little crass, but if it can be helpful, why wouldn't you want to do that?
Yeah, absolutely. And it gives them the opportunity to use it for whatever they think is best.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. LendingTree did the survey, and they found that 35% of newlywed homeowners say that their wedding delayed their home buying plans. They, you know, a good third plus put down less of a down payment because they were busy paying for their wedding. And I know a lot of people now are struggling to buy those homes, right? Interest rates are still high, and the houses have just gotten more and more expensive. There's hardly any homes for sale, and so prices are rising. Well, 59% of newlywed homeowners who made a down payment in this survey said they actually spent more than that on their wedding. Okay, so if you're spending $50,000 on your wedding and $45,000 on your down payment, let's say you have all that cash, a lot of people would just prefer, I'm sure, to have a bigger down payment and a smaller mortgage.
Hey, I got a question for you. I actually had a conversation with a 22-year-old that lives, you know, in a rural area of Illinois and still going to school, holds down a few jobs, and wants to buy a house now. And the house payment and taxes would be $1,400 a month. Well, you'd have to pay a grand for rent. And the people I was with, her family said, oh, absolutely not.
Oh,
but
that's silly.
I wouldn't discourage that, would you?
No. You know, my feeling is if you can rent, you can buy. You just may not be able to buy in, say, Winnetka.
Right.
You might have to rent, buy somewhere else. But, you know, if you're looking in a rural area, you're working somewhere and it's affordable, you know, you do have to pay something to rent. When you own, at least you can get a tax deduction. At least you can, you're paying yourself back, right? Every time you make a mortgage payment, there's a little bit of equity that goes into it. As you know, because I wrote the book, 100 Questions Every First-Time Homebuyer Should Ask, I'm a huge believer that you should do everything you can to buy a home as early as you can in your life. You're just going to be all the richer for it down the line.
Excellent. And I'm going to give her the book.
Oh, fantastic.
Thank you so much, Elise.
Always a pleasure. Have a great weekend.
You too. You will find her newsletter. You need to jump on and catch up with her on a regular basis. Just go to thinkglink.com.